Today we will continue on with looking at the prophet Isaiah, foretelling about things that would happen that came to pass with the birth of Jesus. But before I get into the scriptures of today, I'd like to just begin. Many of you know the story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. C.S. Lewis wrote that story a long time ago. Many have read it. Many have maybe seen the movie. Maybe you've read it to your children. It's a great story, but it kind of points out an interesting piece. For those who don't know the story, it starts out in an imaginary land called Narnia that has been caught. It is now trapped in this perpetual gloom. As Mr. and Mrs. Beaver record, they say, where it is always winter but never Christmas. Because an evil has taken over this land and is terrorizing all the creatures who live in Narnia. They're tormented by fear and suspicion and dread and despair. And while some remember the rightful lord of the land, Aslan the lion, he's not been seen in these parts for many, many years. But as the story goes, something begins to transform the landscape. Hope begins to come. Spring begins to dawn. Eventually, the witch who was tormenting the land is defeated. And as she is defeated, peace is restored to Narnia. And that's really where the story ends, where this peace that had been so long hungered for and looked for is finally restored. C.S. Lewis does, in a beautiful way, kind of puts in an imaginary tone. If you don't know the story, why didn't I just ruin it for you? There's a happy ending. But he is really writing an imaginative way for us to celebrate what happens each Christmas. And that's that's kind of beneath his purpose in the writing. To be a reminder for all of us who may be raised in a Christian environment, but somehow we lose track of what God is up to. Or maybe we've not been raised with an awareness of what Christ brought, and yet somehow through the story, maybe there would be something that would grab our heart as well. That as we face the chaotic world that we live in, a world that is tormented by evil and riddled with fear, suspicion and insecurity, grief and distrust and despair, just like Narnia, Jesus brings peace for us. And that's what the message of Christmas is intended to be. That's what the message of The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe is all about. It is to be a reminder for all of us, whether we've heard the name of Jesus or not, that there is a Jesus character whose point is to bring us peace. This is what the ancients foretold. As we'll look at Isaiah again today. Last week we looked and we talked about how Isaiah watched the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, fall, and was watching as the southern kingdom, his kingdom of Judah, was on the brink of falling again, wondering if ever God could do anything in the midst of his chaotic, falling apart world. And so Isaiah spoke these words of promise that the Lord gave to him. Last week we mentioned how it begins with, to a people walking in darkness, they have seen a great light. Today we're going to move a little forward in Isaiah 9. You can read the rest of it if you'd like, but picking up in verse 6, part of the foretelling of what this peace that is to come comes in the form of his words. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This is an amazing set of titles that Isaiah says that this coming Savior, this coming Messiah, is going to be called all of these things. Hear it again. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those words, titles, roles that Isaiah says will be embodied in this one who comes, this child is born, this son who is given, is going to embody these things. This will be our gift. This is the reason that we might look forward in hope, even as everything around us is falling apart, as Isaiah sees the coming of Christmas. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is not going to be just some ordinary dude. Okay? I don't mean to make light of it. But for the children of Israel, they knew that something very special was about to take place. Now, it would take a long time, but it continue on. Let's go into verse 7. Of the greatness of his government, this Savior, this Messiah, and the peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and holding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Now, I'd like that last piece because I want to hold on to it just for a moment. Hold on with me, if you will. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Again, he is letting us know that it's not something that we are going to accomplish for ourselves. This yearning for peace that we all have is not something that we do on our own. It's not something that we can attain on our own. We don't live in a world where we can create peace and maintain peace. This is something that will only be given as the power of the Lord Almighty comes to accomplish this fact for us. Whatever it is, this kind of reign, whatever kind of kingdom he is referring to, whatever kind of never-ending peace that Isaiah is talking about, it is God's solution to our problem. And we'll know it when this child is born to us. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say probably all of you know what he's talking about. As we look back through our historical lenses, we know that although Isaiah lived centuries before the coming of Jesus, he's talking about this moment when Christ would come. I love the fact that we pick up, and if we look into the New Testament, we're going to see that the angels are going to do something very similar to what Isaiah did. In fact, jump into this Matthew passage with me, if you would. Just a reminder for you, part of our Christmas story talks about the proclamation of the heavenly host. And what the heavenly host said as they appeared over the shepherds in the night sky was this. They were praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," what? "Peace, and on earth, peace to those on whom God's favor rests." Announced by the angels, peace on earth, foretold by the prophets, Prince of Peace. And yet we live in a world that is anything but peaceful, don't we? We live in a polarized society. We live in a chaotic world. We live anxiety-ridden lives. And we wonder why it is, if it is foretold and then it is announced, why is it so hard for us to maintain? And I will offer to you this. When we talk about the gift of Christmas being the peace of God, the reason that is so hard for us is because we look for that peace in all the wrong places. We, by nature, because of who we are as human beings, we want to find peace in the places that we can somehow manage and we can somehow manipulate. We look for peace in our own security, be it how much money we have in our bank account or how much we have in our retirement fund. Whatever it is that we think that we're going to have peace by somehow creating an environment where there is not any lack. Or we look for peace in the way that we are able to control the situation around us. If we can control those around us, we can control the environment around us. If we can control the attitudes of people around us, if we can control life in some way, if we can somehow manage it so that we are the ones who make all the decisions about our health and it's never out of our control, then we would be very happy. We would find peace, but it's not there for us. We sometimes think that peace will come if we can create an environment that lacks any kind of trouble. But Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." Because he is alluding to this peace, this fellow unknown is really prolific. If ever you go look for great quotes online, quotes by unknown are the best. But it's true. The peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but rather it is the confidence that he is there with you always. This becomes kind of key for us when we look at this Christmas story. What Jesus offers to us, what Isaiah foretold for us, was this idea that we would have peace when we live in that awareness that he is with us. That's what the gift of Christmas was about, that as the angels proclaim that Christ is now here, so peace is upon us, it is because we need to live in that awareness. And so I would suggest to you, this is how we begin to live it out. If we want to attain that peace, again, we don't get it on our own, but it is something that God will offer to us. But there is a path for us to follow, and it's in Philippians 4. This is a powerful passage. Not often do we do it at Christmas time, but it fits because this is the path for peace. Hear it. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything." Yeah, good luck with that, right? Anyone here have any worries? Is there anyone here with a little nervousness? Is there anyone here with a little bit of anxiety? I know we don't want to call it that because somehow we think we're something wrong with us if we feel anxiety. Okay, I'll just do this. Don't look around anybody else, but if you feel some sense of dis-ease and anxiety, even this morning, raise your hand. Okay, don't look around you, but everyone's hands are up, okay? It's normal. It's what we do as humans. It's kind of the thing that kind of makes us who we are, is that we have a sense of dread or anxiousness that goes on, and especially this time of year. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here it is. If we follow this path, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, there is no peace apart from Jesus. I know the world's going to tell us differently. The world is going to say, oh, there's many ways to get to peace. There's not. I don't mean to be exclusive. I don't mean to be mean. I don't mean to be arrogant in the way I point this out, but this is the path, that peace is going to be found not by what we create, but by what's given to us. There is a path for us to peace, and it comes through this relationship with God, and it begins here. There's going to be four things, and if you want to note them, they're going to all begin with the letter R, so it's really kind of easy for us to remember. This is how we get to that path of peace. First, we rejoice in what Christ has done. If you're feeling a sense of dread this season, if you're feeling a sense of grief this season, if you're feeling a sense of anxiety this season, this is where we begin. We begin by rejoicing in what Christ has done. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Paul knew that he needed to repeat that because otherwise we'll think, I don't think I can rejoice because things aren't going well. Again, it doesn't say rejoice in your circumstance, rejoice in your victories, rejoice in anything. It says rejoice in what? In the Lord, in what God has done for us. And there's no better time than Christmas to take stock in what God has done for us. This is a beautiful time of year for that, even though we get overwhelmed by all the anxiousness. Two, we need to reflect what Christ has done. Notice what the next verse says. Let your gentleness be evident to all. This is the opportunity for us, the time for us, to begin to look at others around us and be gentle with them. To look for ways to extend kindness to someone who may need to have that gift of kindness given to them. To find someone who, instead of being impatient with them, you are able to extend the grace of patience to them. Instead of biting their head off, you're able to extend forgiveness. There is a gentleness here that Paul is talking about that begins to enable us to make the attitude and the atmosphere around us different. And it's reflecting what Christ has done for us. If he has already come and out of his mercy and grace forgiven us, he invites us to do the same. If he has already come with a gentleness that didn't take all of our faults into consideration but somehow looked beyond them, that's what he invites us to do for those around us. If he came into our time of our need and he met those needs, he invites us to come into the needs of those around us and begin to meet those needs. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Reflect what Christ has done for you. The Lord is near, it says. Hold on to this for a second. That not only do we need to rejoice in what Christ has done and begin to reflect what he has done, but also we need to rest in what he is doing. No matter how tempestuous the storm may be, we need to realize that Christ is there with us. He is there in the midst of it with us. The Lord is near. So what we are called to do, even amidst of that diagnosis that we didn't want to hear, Christ is still there with us in the midst of it. Rest in what Christ is doing. This is a tough one for us. But give that to Him. And then release to Christ all that torments you. Take some time today. Take some time this week. What are the things that keep you awake at night? What are the things that wake you up and don't let you go back to sleep? What are those things that cause you to have gray hair like I've got, or maybe no hair like some of you all got? What are those things? Again, you look back into the scripture here, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make it into a request to God. So instead of letting your anxiety hold you, take that anxiety and offer it to Him. There's going to be, again, so there's rejoicing, there's reflecting, there is resting, and then there is this releasing of all those things, that grief, that sadness, that worry, that fear, releasing that to Him. And then the next part is not ours to do. The next part is what God can do. This is that part like in Isaiah, part that is up to God to make it happen. This is the part that comes from us. This isn't our doing. This is going to be God's doing. That when we follow this path, then the peace of God, this is His promise, then the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There is something very profound here. This is both a path but also a promise. And if we walk out our part of the path, the promise is that God will do His part, and there will be a peace which we can't understand, that we can't create, that we can't even imagine, that will begin to move in our life, and this Christmas season will be set apart. Just like Narnia with Aslan's return, there is a sense that everything begins to change, even though it's still the same place. Everything begins to change because of His presence in the midst of the land. Say amid, as it says here for us, that as we begin to walk this path and the peace of Christ now guards our heart, there is something that comes to transform our reality from always winter and never Christmas into spring. This is where the peace of Christ, which is that second gift of the Christmas season that we're focusing on today, is part of what was told that would be ours, and this is how it is that we can receive it. Father, I pray that You would be in the midst of each and every one of our hearts, every one of us who is disbelieving today, thinking that no, there is a challenge that is too big even for You to take care of. There is a worry that we have that seems to be impossible for Me to let go. There are needs all around that I don't think that I can be a part of, and yet You invite us to rejoice. You invite us to reflect. You invite us to rest and be restored. Even as we release all that clings to us, that wars for Your position in our hearts. God, we thank You that on that night when Christ was born, the angels proclaimed peace on earth. God, our desire is that we would know that peace, that we would be that peace, that we could then share that peace with this hurting and anxiety-filled world around us, broken into its many fragments, divided against itself, angry at everybody and getting more angry all the time. God, we pray for Your peace, for it to be the solution to our world, and for us to be a part of Your solution. So Lord, we pray that that peace would be. Help us to walk out this path. Help us to find more of You in the midst of our Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.